Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, Browns fans? This is Kenny Mack from Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. And this is the Dogs Podcast. Let's kick this off.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Zach Kopp, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Dogs. Big shout out to Ken from the Ottawa Browns backers for that awesome intro. If you're looking to send an intro in, that's a perfect one to model it off of. If you do want to get an intro on the show or just some thoughts on the Browns, head to www.thedogspodcast.com to leave us a voicemail. We're looking forward to all your intros from all over the world. We really want to hear what you guys have to say about today's mock draft and anything the Browns do going forward. We have a really fun episode lined up today. Barry Shuck from dogsbynature.com is back to help us break down the free agent signings the Browns have made so far, and we're going to do a little seven-round mock draft for you guys. Before we get into that, remember to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Please subscribe on YouTube. Tap that notification bell so you know when we upload new videos. We want to send a huge thank you to everybody who listened to our last episode, took the time to subscribe out there on YouTube. By far, our most successful episode to date. And it really means a lot to us that you take time out of your day to listen to us and support the show. The fact that we got over 6,000 views on an episode completely blows my mind. So thank you all for listening and subscribing. We also want to thank new friends of the show, Northwest Group, for reaching out and partnering with the Dogs. They got a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, so as the number one throw manufacturer in the United States, the Northwest Group continuously produces new, innovative, and exciting products for the majority of the world's most recognized and loved brands in sports, entertainment, and lifestyle, like our brownies. So visit www.thenorthwest.com, that is thenorthwest.com, use promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, and you will get 25% off at checkout. They sent us some cool stuff to show you guys here.
Yeah, so they sent us this throw pillow right here. She's actually super comfortable. They sent us this awesome screen Baker Mayfield blanket. And they also sent us another blanket on the wall. I don't know if we have that camera view for you guys to see.
I'll switch it right now.
Hanging up behind Josh.
Yeah, very dope. Very nice. Yeah.
So we're actually going to raffle off a couple of these items for you guys, a little contest. So we're going to run this up until the draft. If you want to get this pillow or you want to get this Baker Mayfield screen blanket, all you have to do is head to YouTube and subscribe. Take a screenshot of you after you subscribe to show that you subscribed and send it to thedogspod@gmail.com. That's one way to do it. If you aren't on YouTube and you're on Facebook, share our video, screenshot that you shared the video. Again, send that screenshot to thedogspod@gmail.com. Same thing with Twitter, same concept. Retweet our episode, screenshot it. Send it to thedogspod@gmail.com. We will enter you into the contest, and then when we get up to the draft, we'll pick the winners, and we'll send them out to you.
Actually, and I just remembered one other way that people can enter this contest. If you're on Apple Podcasts, go to the reviews. Give us a 5-star review. You actually have to type out a review. Let us know how awesome we are, you know.
Right.
If you give us a 5-star review on Apple, screenshot that, send it to that thedogspod@gmail.com, and that's another way to get your ticket into this contest.
Yeah, so and these things are really awesome. We're really excited to be partnered with these guys. Local Cleveland-based company. Support these guys. Help the show out and get yourself some cool Browns gear.
That's right, man.
All right, so we're going to move in. We have Barry Shuck from dogsbynature.com. Barry, it's awesome to have you back. Your episode was a huge hit out there for all the listeners, so thank you for being back with us today.
Thank you for having me back. How are y'all?
We're doing good. We're doing good. Like we said, it's getting a little warmer up here, so we can't be too mad. So Barry, what'd you think of the Browns draft, free agents? Were you surprised we went safety?
Well, you know, after last year, the areas that needed attention were safety, but also linebacker, third wide receiver, kicker, swing tackle, kick returner, pass rusher, defensive tackle, and cornerback. And I think general manager Andrew Berry has addressed each level of the defense in the first week of free agency, which what that does is it now provides flexibility in the draft. At one of the positions that needed an infusion of veteran talent after the last season was the secondary. The Browns ranked 27th in pass defense. On Pro Football Focus, they rated the Browns' safeties as the worst cumulative grade in the league with a grade of 48.2.
Sounds about right.
I feel like I saw that on the field.
Yeah.
I think Cleveland is just pieces away from becoming one of the better teams in the AFC, and the lack of quality defensive players is mentioned as to what this club needs to accomplish during this offseason. And right out of the gate, Barry signed John Johnson, the safety, as the newest Brown. Johnson is known for being an excellent tackler. He's a force in the run stoppage and rarely over pursues. He also matches it real well against tight ends. He was the third highest ranked free agent safety, ranked safety in 2020 with an 85.6 grade from Pro Football Focus. He was first in interceptions, second in fewest receptions allowed, and third for fewest targets thrown in his direction. I think he's an exceptional athlete, and he only allowed one touchdown all season. That itself is impressive.
Right.
Yeah, I know we can't be more happy to have him. I think he's the perfect kind of fit for this Browns defense for Joe Woods to finally be able to implement the scheme he was brought in to implement. And we kind of ragged on Joe Woods a lot last year because the defense was so bad, but I know we're all interested to see what he can do now with the proper pieces for his system.
Absolutely.
So
Go ahead. With the Browns, Johnson will most likely play like a true deep safety, maybe a too high safety or even a box safety. But he's available and is able to line up as a true linebacker in the 4-2-5, excuse me. And perhaps, like against the Baltimore Ravens, they've had problems with Lamar Jackson, and maybe he'll play the spy.
Right.
Yeah.
So versatility is in his toolbox.
He's like a little Swiss Army knife for the defense. And speaking of Lamar Jackson, like you said, it's like other teams, I don't want to say they figured out Lamar, but, he's not running wild like he did 2 years ago against most people. But for some reason, the Browns have just not figured him out yet. So hopefully John Johnson can help remedy that a little bit.
Absolutely. And Johnson is absolutely focused on winning. 4 months ago, he unfollowed the Rams on his Instagram account. Now, that's while the season was still going on. Yeah, that was his employer.
Right.
What does it say that, the reports are out there that he was offered better deals from other teams, and he said this was the perfect opportunity for him. It was the perfect scenario, the best team for him to come for, and he actually took less money. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen anybody do that when talking about Cleveland.
Yeah, who does that? The other clubs were the Detroit Lions, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, if you take a quick list of that list and add Cleveland to that, you can only speculate that at age 31, he wants to come to a potential playoff team like Cleveland.
Yeah. And by adding him, I think we're one step closer to going from playoff contender to honest Super Bowl contender.
Absolutely. I think going forward, the Browns are counting on Ronnie Harrison's continued progression as a key cog to this defensive backfield. But, he missed 5 games last year with various injuries. And I think the wild card to this unit is Grant Delpit.
Right.
If he can pick up where he left off and become the ace in the hole for Joe Woods' defense, and you couple with the presence of now the veteran Johnson, this unit could arguably become one of the club's best units with Sheldrick Redwine and Javonte Moffitt as backups.
Which is crazy. Like you said, we go from last to one of the best in one season. It's just a great job by Andrew Berry to see a need and then get the best player available to fill that need.
Absolutely. And if you look at Johnson's history as far as tackles and his production, he is very consistent. In his rookie year, he only started 11 games. He had 75 tackles. The second year, he had 119 tackles as a full-time starter. He got a shoulder injury in his third year, but in five games started, he already had 51 tackles. Well, what would that project to? 140 for the year? And then last year, he was a full-time starter and had 105 tackles.
Yeah. I know we couldn't be more excited to have him. And then kind of staying on that train, what'd you think of signing his teammate, cornerback Troy Hill?
I think Troy Hill is good cop, bad cop. He's been in the league 6 years. Last year, it was kind of his breakout year. He had 77 tackles, and he was the defensive touchdown player of the year. He had a return fumble for a touchdown. He had two return interceptions that were basically thrown to him. But he's only had one good year. He's been either cut on the practice squad or as a backup all those other years. He's been with the Rams 5 years, and he's only started one full season. And he's an above-average tackler. He's quick, but I just don't know about him. I think he's been signed to be the slot. And I think another important aspect of signing Troy Hill is that what's going to happen with Greedy Williams? Is he going to play opposite on the other side of Denzel Ward? And if not, I think this is the Andrew Berry's answer as an insurance policy.
Yeah, I think a lot depends on whether Greedy can see the field consistently, because up until this point in his career, that's not been something he's been able to do.
Absolutely. So I think it's a good signing, and I absolutely expect him to play the slot. But if you notice that his contract is 4 years, but it's really only a 2-year contract. So that allows Cleveland to bow out if he just doesn't produce. Plus, he's 31.
Yep.
He's on the other side of 30.
Yeah. I think the way they structured everything with him was just such a low risk, high reward. I think that was kind of the way we described most of these signings, honestly. And I did read something about the Browns. They specifically were targeting the Los Angeles Rams defensive players because they knew that the Rams were up against it as far as cap space. So they had that inkling, like, okay, some of these guys are going to be available. And so I think that's why we ended up with, they said it was no surprise that we ended up with two of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And at least they have a player in Hill who can slide outside if injury or poor performance dictates what happens with Greedy Williams this year.
Right, right.
So, you know, go ahead.
I think this is a wait-and-see player. Despite being in the NFL 6 years, Hill really has only had one productive season, and which fortunately for him was last year, which allowed him to sign a huge contract. He had 77 tackles, 10 pass defenses, but he also missed 9 tackles.
Yeah, that made me a little nervous because I feel like the Browns secondary is kind of already a little bit suspect in the tackling department.
Sort of their MO.
Yeah, so we didn't, we don't really need another guy who's going to miss a lot of tackles, but I'm kind of hoping with the addition of Johnson, hopefully Greedy comes back, we can kind of put Troy, in that slot somewhere where he's comfortable and then he can kind of thrive.
Absolutely. Now, here's a stat. With the Rams last year, Hill's receiver was targeted 91 times, in which 64 were completed for a 70.3 completion ratio. Ouch.
Right.
It's not very good.
Yeah, that's rough. I'd like to see how many yards he gave up. But I don't know off the top of my head, but I'm just, was he giving up bombs or, was he at least coming up and making the tackle and it was a 2-3 yard gain?
Well, his job is to knock down passes and cover the
man. Right.
Well played. Well played.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess, you know, we'll wait and see on Troy Hill. Hopefully we're getting good Troy Hill. You know, I think a guy that the Browns kind of took a flyer on, somebody that I hadn't even really heard of when we signed Tack McKinley, the defensive end from the Raiders. Do you think we're going to be getting rookie season potential Tack McKinley, or do you think this was a wasted signing?
I don't understand this signing. His numbers basically parallel Adrian Claiborne. And Claiborne, he was a backup to start the season last year. But the second half of the season, he was important. He filled in for the COVID sideline Miles Garrett when he wasn't feeling well. And then when Olivier Vernon went out, he became the starter to beat out Porter Gustin. And I thought he was an important guy, and he was only getting paid $2.75 million. But yet we signed McKinley to a $4.25 million contract. I think this was a knee-jerk decision for Andrew Berry. If you look at all the very good edge rushers, J.J. Watt, they offered him $12 million. He signed for $15.5 million a year. Ngakoue signed with the Raiders for $26 million, which was way overpaid. Bud Dupree, I think they wanted for about $10 million a year. He signed a five-year, $85 million contract, which was way over there. And then I think the one they really wanted was Trey Hendrickson from the Saints. But he signed for big money. He signed for a four-year, $60 million. So at the end of the day, I think they were just kind of stuck. And so who do we sign next? And he had to sign somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I do know that Andrew Berry tried to trade for McKinley four times last year. He's got speed and he's got a high motor. And maybe a change of scenery will get him back to where he was as a first-round draft choice. His rookie year, he had six sacks. His second year, he had seven sacks. But his third year, he didn't play well. He had an injury. And then because he regressed, the Falcons didn't exercise the fifth-year option, and that pissed him off. He just went livid after that. He went to Twitter and just lambasted them over and over. He tweeted this: "These Atlanta Falcons turned down a second-round draft pick when I was requested to get traded last year." Well, I know two things about NFL teams. They don't say anything about injuries until they announce it. And the second thing they don't do is they don't talk about financials ever. Absolutely right. Ever. They don't talk about how much money you're being offered. If somebody was offered a second round pick, they would never, ever say something like that. But yet here he tweeted and he retweeted and he tweeted again. And basically, it just rubbed the Falcons the wrong way. What ended up happening, he played four games last year. He got a groin injury. He went into rehab. He was still disgruntled. He was still tweeting out all this immature content on social media. And eventually, they cut him.
Yeah, I know. We talked last week, you know, we were kind of recapping this about the impact of being wanted as a player. You know, when you know a team, you're on a team that actually wants you there, they desire to have you as part of the team. And, you know, I believe Andrew Berry said that Tack McKinley was in consideration for the Browns back in 2018, was that 2017 draft, whenever they traded, whenever they traded the Deshaun Watson pick.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm not expecting McKinley to start. But the Browns will probably add another pass rusher either through another free agent signing or in the first two rounds of the draft. I mean, it's a very strong edge rush class.
I don't want to we didn't talk about this, but just off the top of your head, we've heard reports that the Browns offered Jadeveon Clowney. Do you happen to know anything about that?
I don't. I just know that he came in for a visit on Wednesday. He left without a contract. I do know that. He's probably going to want a one-year, $12 million deal, maybe $10 million. That's another player that had early success and has not had recent success. He only played eight games last year.
Yeah.
He was injured. He had zero sacks. Yeah. He had 26 tackles. I mean, what are you paying for now? You paying for the name brand?
Yeah, that, right, yeah, that Michigan know. That Michigan hit. That's what he's still living off of.
I know on this show we're not huge Jadeveon Clowney fans. So I said if the Browns can get him dirt cheap, cool, but I'm not paying for Jadeveon Clowney because, like you said, I mean, he really hasn't been productive for a while.
Yeah, and he's not going to come dirt cheap.
Yeah, right. I agree. He thinks his worth is way higher than what it is, in my opinion.
Well, look at J.J. Watt. J.J. Yeah. Watt signed for $15.5 million a year. I was shocked at that.
Me too. With his age and his injury concerns. So then, we'll kind of – one more big free agent signing that the Browns did was linebacker Anthony Walker from the Colts. I know we're excited about him just because the linebacking core was so bad last year, and we talked about it, you know, even when you were on last time, how we needed help at that position. Do you think he fills that need?
I think that's jackpot. He's only 25. He's got real good speed, and he's a tackling machine. I think that's what jumps out most among his stats from his four seasons with the Colts. He's had over 100 tackles in 2018 and 2019. And last year he finished second on the Colts with 92 tackles. He's got sideline to sideline ability. He's a team guy. He's a leader. He's selfless. He has great instincts and fills gaps well. Now, he's got a little bit of an issue recognizing run versus pass and getting back in coverage. I don't know how to fix that. I'm sure they'll find a way.
Yeah, I know we're really excited about this guy.
The biggest thing that why I got so excited wasn't even necessarily pulling up his numbers and seeing his production on the field. It was just the reaction from his teammates about losing him, especially like a guy like Darius Leonard talking about how much he meant to the team and how much he means to the locker room, and he's irreplaceable. So to me, it sounds like the Browns didn't just get a guy who is good on the field, but he's going to help some of these younger defensive players like Taki Taki and Mac Wilson. He's going to help them grow just by being a leader.
Right. And if you remember, Baker Mayfield threw one of his 8 interceptions last year to Walker in week 5 against the Colts when Cleveland beat Indianapolis 32-23. That was kind of like almost a backbreaker in that game. And now we got him in-house. He's had 343 tackles in 4 seasons. He's a sure tackler. He doesn't blitz much. Last year he had the number of times that they sent him on a blitz was only 22 times. But he's fast. He wraps up. If you look at pictures of him, he's not hand grabbing. He fills gaps well, but he just needs a little bit of work in the drop back passing game, but he sheds and run pursuit real well, and he's got good closing speed.
Yeah, we're excited to see what he does. I know the linebacking core was abysmal last year, and we needed a lot of help there, so hopefully he can kind of be that sure tackler in the middle that we so desperately needed. Before we get you out of here, I just wanted to ask, you know, was there anything the Browns did that surprised you, or any names that you kind of thought we were going to go after that we didn't make a move for, or did we do pretty much, you know, kind of what you were thinking?
I was thinking that they were going to sign a very, very well-known defensive end. I was glad that they signed Malcolm Smith back. So now you've got Jacob Phillips, Walker, and Malcolm Smith as your linebackers. I think that's an excellent, excellent linebacker core. But defensive line, first round, second round, you can guarantee that they're going to take an edge rusher. Now, there's still guys out there, not only Clowney, but Justin Houston of the Colts, Carlos Dunlap. We know him from being in the division.
Yep.
He was dropped from the Seahawks. Now, he's 32, but he provided a big boost to the Seahawks defense after a trade from the Bengals, and then they just cut him. And also Melvin Ingram of the Chargers. He's been one of the best defenders on the Chargers for the last 9 years.
You expect the Browns to make a move for one of those guys?
I do. I think they'll take somebody. I don't know if they'll bring Olivier Vernon back, but Ryan Kerrigan of the Washington football team's out there. Everson Griffin, Geno Atkins, Danny Shelton. There are guys out there that can come in and compete for that left defensive end. And if they take a guy in the first round, which there'll be plenty of prospects this year in all rounds, and if you take multiple guys, all of those people with McKinley will fight for that left defensive end edge rusher spot.
Yep.
Yep, I agree.
Awesome. Well, hey, Barry, we really appreciate you being here with us again today and breaking down those signings. We can't wait to have you on again. Honestly, it's a lot of fun having you on. If you guys want to check out some of the articles that Barry writes, head to dogsbynature.com. He's got a ton of good info on that website. And again, Barry, thanks for being here with us today.
Enjoyed my time with you. Have a good show.
You too, if you have a show today. Yeah. Thanks, Barry.
All right.
Okay, so again, dogsbynature.com staff writer Barry Shuck, thank you for being here. And if you guys like what he says, head over to the website and check out some of his articles.
Zach. I say real quick, before we move into this mock draft, though, Zach's going to tell you guys some interesting stuff.
Yeah, so are you tired of being locked into your Richie incognito self because of your hygiene in your pants? Is your situation a little more Nikhil Harry than you'd like? Do you think your partner is going to call you a Rex Grossman about your bad grooming? Well, today you can put all your problems to rest and try the Lawnmower 3.0 from Manscaped. Use promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, at checkout, and you can receive 20% off your order and free shipping when you buy the Perfect Package 3.0 or the Lawnmower 3.0. With these products, you can guarantee that not only will you feel like a happy feller, but your partner will Stefan Diggs your look after just one use. Feel more confident about yourself so there is less talky-talky in the bedroom.
Well done.
Well done, sir.
That was great.
Well done.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I will say that I did, I used the promo code, got my brother Manscaped, got the Lawnmower 3.0 for his birthday here this past month and gave it to him last weekend. It was so funny. He opened it up and, you know, he just kind of laughed. And of course, you know, there's the grandparents. What's that? Yeah, it's okay. Don't worry about it. But he ripped that thing out of the box, ran over, plugged it in, was playing around with not using it.
Right. Not using it. My goodness. What kind of party are you throwing down? Birthday parties are wild.
He was just examining it. And he was like, man, I've been wanting to get one of these. And I've always thought about it. He's like, I just never pulled the trigger on it. I said, well, no, you don't have to. I got it for you.
Did you show him how to use it?
I did. I gave him a little demo.
Right.
A little demo. I said, you want to go up, not down. Don't worry. They send you instructions with the product. It's all good stuff.
Well, that was super fun, and sounds like I need to start attending birthday parties with Josh.
Yeehaw, baby.
Right.
So like we mentioned in the opening, now we're going to knock out a 7-round mock draft for you guys. We're going to do our best Mel Kiper, Todd McShay / Andrew Berry impression for you. 7-round mock draft coming up, and we can't wait.
The Dogs Mock Draft.
All right, so let's get into this first ever The Dogs Podcast mock draft.
1.0.
Yeah, you know, so obviously there's still, like Barry mentioned, there's still free agents out there that we don't know where they're going to go. So, you know, if we draft an edge rusher here in the first round and then at 6 o'clock tonight we sign Justin Houston, you know, chill out.
Right.
You know, this is
right.
The first one. But we're really excited to get into this. You guys should be able to see on your screen. We're going to go through. You'll be able to see who's available when we pick. You know, we want to hear from you guys. You know, did we pick somebody that you wouldn't have picked? Did we overdraft somebody? Did we put too much value on them? Let us know. Leave us a voicemail, dogspodcast.com. Let's get into this.
Yeah, and I will say, just as a quick disclaimer, we are using Pro Football Focus mock draft simulator. There's a couple mock draft simulators out there, and they right. all kind of have different guys going different places and things. But I ran through a couple of the other ones, and some of the guys they were mocking to other teams, I'm like, that would never happen.
Yeah. Right.
So I like this one. This one, I think we all kind of like this one the best.
Yeah. Great. I know I put hundreds and hundreds of hours into the draft simulator.
Hundreds of hours this morning.
Yes. Yeah. Research. Yeah.
All right. So are we ready to start this, baby?
Yeah. Let's go. This is welcome to the Browns War Room.
Yeah. Yep. Right. All right. Let's see what the Jaguars are going to do. I don't know. Justin Fields.
Oh, my God.
Trevor Lawrence going 3.
So this is already crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, if Trevor Lawrence goes...
Wait, Trey Lance just went to the Cowboys. Everything I just said about this draft being, this mock draft simulator being good, forget about it.
Right, yeah. So wow. Let's see. Devontae Smith might be available at 26.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right.
Okay, so we're on the clock, and we're giving ourselves, what, 3-4 minutes here to make a pick?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me get the timer started, guys.
Okay, so the first thing we obviously need to do is we need to say what's the biggest need for this team. I think we all decided that edge rusher was probably
I would say that's
where we needed to go.
Yeah, I would say that's probably the biggest need. Also, we need interior D-line, some help there, linebacker, and then kind of both spots in the secondary.
All right, so let's look at the board. So as far as edge rushers go, right there in the top five on the board, we got Gregory Russo, Azeez Ajulari, and Jalen Phillips.
Yeah.
So the thing about Gregory Russo, this guy, a lot of injury concerns, correct?
He opted out this past year. He opted out, so he didn't play. But if he probably would have played, obviously with the quarterbacks, they said he would have been a top five pick if he would have played. Now, really? Like everybody took quarterbacks, apparently, you know.
So one thing, he's 6'6", 222 pounds. So that's a little lean. You know, is he going to be able to – it says he doesn't have a lot of power aspect to his game, still trying to figure that out. 6 foot, 222, not a lot of power. Is he going to be able to, you know, bull rush an NFL tackle?
Right, right. And then his teammate here, Jalen Phillips, was the guy that he had to retire from college football. What was that, 20?
For concussions.
Yeah. I forget if it was last year or the year before, but yeah, concussion issues. I think there's some other injury issues, so – I mean, man, with that first-round pick, I don't know. I don't know if you want to go that route with the injury history that the Browns defense has already.
Yeah, I just don't know if we need a project. We kind of, you know, we need somebody that we know can come in and hopefully start day one.
Right. So right. If we scroll down a little bit, Asante Samuel Jr. is on the board. Zaven Collins, the linebacker out of Tulsa, is on the board.
So what do you guys
further too?
I know Zaven Collins is listed at linebacker, but with the build, you know, we were looking it up. Was he 6'6", 260? What do we think about drafting him at edge, or at linebacker, but converting him to edge?
I mean, didn't you just say that we didn't need a project?
he gets to the quarterback. He's at this point in the draft. Is he the best defensive player? You know, at linebacker available, linebacker / edge.
I'd say at this point in the draft, probably.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I think he's probably the position. Most surefire. There's not injury history, I don't think, with him, or you know, major concerns. It says he dominates backs in the blitz pickup. He can chase running backs down in space, which, you know, if the Browns go linebacker, that's what they're looking for, is that speed. I mean, that's what they've shown. That's what they've been doing. That's the kind of players they've been bringing in.
Yeah. Looking at the cornerback position there, Asante Samuel Jr., you know, he's 5'10", 184, was graded 13th at the cornerback position in the 2020 season. He only allowed 179 yards in 8 games, so he only averages 22 yards a game that he was giving up. Pro Football Focus kind of says he's the smoothest athlete at that position available in the draft. So, at cornerback in the first round, I don't know if I loved him. There were some other guys that I did like at that position. You know, if like a Patrick Surtain kind of fell to us, yep. I know we need edge, but he'd be a lockdown corner to opposite Denzel Ward, but I don't know if I'd take Samuel here.
So we're about 30 seconds out. So here's
I'm going to make my last case for Collins too. Even if we didn't convert him to edge, when you're picking 26, sometimes you just take best player available.
I think you absolutely take best player
available. And this guy, freak of nature, size and length, do you not see an off-the-ball linebacker? Edge rusher type skill set when blitzing. Running backs don't stand a chance. He has movement skills of somebody like Phillips, but he's 40 pounds heavier.
Yep. So are we thinking Zaven Collins?
What do you guys think?
I'm good with Zaven Collins. Yeah. I like Zaven.
All right, so Zaven Collins at 26 it is. And then the Ravens jump in and take Gregory Russo right after us. So
Right, of course. Hopefully. It works that way, right?
Yeah. That, every time I've done one of these mocks, I'm like, the Ravens always take a guy. I'm like, oh, he's going to be great.
Yes, yes.
I don't think he's came off yet.
What's that?
I don't think he still hasn't. He's still slipping.
Who?
Who did we say was going to go? Oh, Russo.
No, he went right out. Yeah,
did he?
Right
he did? Oh, yeah. God. Okay. Yeah, so I need to get some glasses.
Coming back up. So now it's like, okay, the Ravens got to pick after us in round one. Now they pick right before us, before our 59th pick here. So they ended up taking a safety there.
Yep. Okay. So now just when this pops up immediately, I see two guys that I've looked into that I like here.
Who are you thinking?
So I like Elijah Molden, the safety out of Washington, and I like Aaron Robinson, cornerback out of UCF. I can scroll down and see who else is in here.
Tyson Campbell, out of the cornerback out of Georgia, is a very physical cornerback playing on the Georgia Bulldogs defense, but he lacks a little bit of ball production as being one of his biggest weakness. But this guy is a awesome tackler at the position at cornerback. He's only missed 5 misses in coverage on 67 career attempts. So he's very skinny. He's a smaller guy, but you know, he's willing to make a tackle. You don't have to worry about this guy maybe missing tackles like we've seen in the past at the cornerback position. And then, like you said, Aaron Robinson, he's a little bit bigger than Tyson Campbell is. He's 6'1", 193. He was pretty much a slot corner at UCF in his career. Another good guy, another good option at cornerback, like Josh said. But what do you guys think?
Blake, Justin, what are you guys feeling here?
I think corner's where we need to go here on this pick for sure. I kind of like the guy out of Georgia.
Tyson Campbell?
Georgia's a good football program, you know. Like, I don't love corners who haven't played against NFL type wide receivers in college a lot.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
I don't want them the first time they go up against somebody with like a 4.3 40 speed is week one for the Browns.
Because no matter what, when you're playing against an NFL wide receiver, that's a pro receiver. I don't care if he's their 1, 2, 3 guy, whatever.
Yep.
That's a pro receiver.
Yeah. So I mean, Rashard Higgins, you know, the Browns' third receiver would probably be better than a lot of the receivers Robinson played in his entire career.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
That's a great point.
So if we're thinking corner, I'm kind of on the Tyson Campbell train. You know, Georgia always has a solid defense. So that's kind of my pick. I don't know what you guys are thinking.
Not to swing anybody either here at the end.
All right.
We did lose Larry Ogunjobi. So do we need an interior defensive guy on the line?
Well,
I'm reading about McNeil. He's got a lot of potential.
I did some looking. I just was not totally impressed with a lot of these early round interior defensive linemen, especially here in this like second round. But
and then Najee Harris is on the board right now.
There you go, get him.
Probably best center, one of the best centers in the draft.
Right.
So the other guy I like here is Joseph Asai, the edge rusher out of Texas. I know we just drafted Zaven Collins, but if we're kind of thinking him as like that linebacker slash edge rusher potentially to get another, you know, solidified edge rusher here in the second round would not be, I mean, I wouldn't be mad if the Browns did that.
No, I mean, we don't know what we're getting. Literally going into next year, we don't know what we're getting out of Curtis Weaver. I mean,
it's true. And Barry did make a good point. There are more, you know, other edge rushers still available in free agency that, you know, I'm sure the Browns are looking into. So,
where are we going? Well,
yeah, where
do
you guys want?
Are we going?
Somebody make a decision.
I'm good with the corner out of Georgia. If you guys are, I know Blake, that's your guy right here.
Yeah. Let's pull the trigger.
Yeah. Pull the trigger. All right. So Browns are going to draft Tyson Campbell, cornerback out of Georgia.
So I think now that our Browns team is now addressed, I think, two of our biggest needs as far as the defense.
Right, and I think that, you know, taking the cornerback there, we're not saying that we don't already have somebody in. Okay, because you got Greedy that's coming back. It's just that question mark of you don't know what he's going to be able to bring.
And you know, you heard
that injury lingered. Yeah, that injury lingered way longer than anybody thought it was going to. So there's big question marks there. We hope Greedy's the guy, and this guy that, you know, we're, if we bring in the corner out of Georgia, that he's just going to add another depth piece because of the defensive scheme that Joe Woods wants to play.
And you heard Barry talk about Hill. You know, hopefully we're getting good Hill, but like he said, he's only had one good season.
Right.
So I don't think you can never have too much secondary help.
No.
We saw that.
And that's why I would kind of advocate for another safety here at some point in the draft. Just because I know if they're going to run that rotation with safeties, I mean, John Johnson's great. Ronnie Harrison is great. Grant Delpit, question mark. Haven't seen him play. Hopefully he can stay healthy and show that he's that guy. Sheldrick Redwine. But then it's like, okay, so if we have injuries or if somebody's not living up to the hype, where do we go for depth? So that's kind of my take on the safeties. But here we are with our third pick. So we've got this pick, 89, and then we skip 90 for the Vikings. And we're right back on at 91. So we kind of almost get back-to-back here. Mm-hmm. So if we kind of pick two guys we like in this draft pool that's available, we should be good.
So I was kind of looking at the interior D-line here. And now that we're into the third round, and a guy I was kind of looking at, is he still available? I don't know if he can change just the interior D-line up there. But the guy out of Ohio State, Tommy Tagai.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people talk about him.
Looks like Tommy Tagai is gone.
He's gone, buddy.
Bastards. He's
gone. this Tyler Shelvin, I don't know a whole lot about him. I know he opted out in 2020, so he didn't play, but he was on that national championship team at LSU.
Yeah.
It says he earned an 88.3 run defense grade as a redshirt sophomore, so
yeah,
not terrible.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Yes.
And I don't mean height wise. I mean, he comes in at, it said that, his biggest thing, his biggest weakness is, can he keep his weight under control? That he'd be a great, run stopper in the NFL. His NFL comparison is Terrence Knighton, who's kind of a big guy, as well. That as long as he can keep that under control, he'd probably be successful in the NFL. But sometimes you kind of see that it's not always that way. He was reportedly up to 375 last fall.
Wow.
Now,
that's a big guy.
So let me just jump in here real quick with somebody that I got my eyes on with one of these next two picks. So that would be, I'm going to try to say this the best I can, Hamza Nasiruddin, the safety out of Florida State. So what they're kind of the report on him is he has great size for the position at safety. He's 6'4", 220. It says he's just not particularly explosive, but that's okay if he's going to play more of that strong safety linebacker area and role. They say he's a smooth defender, zone defender, terrific tackler. That's the one that popped out to me.
I'm going to throw one out there too. How about Joe Tryon from Washington? They said he's one of the best bull rushing pass edges in the draft. They just said he loves to attack, just hasn't quite figured out the hands yet. So when you go to, the pros, there's probably going to be an issue, but I mean, nothing that a coach or like, let's say a Myles Garrett can't show him a couple things, like during camp. But, I mean, really it just comes down to what we need.
What that was Joe Tryon you were talking about?
Yeah, the Washington.
Yep. So
one other guy, that you can, when you kind of scroll down there, Chaz Surratt there, the linebacker out of North Carolina. This guy is, I think, almost a prototypical kind of linebacker that Joe Woods. He's not a big guy, 6'2", 225. He was actually a quarterback coming out of high school, three-star dual-threat quarterback that had offers from Clemson, North Carolina, Duke. And then he ended up switching to linebacker a couple years ago. He plays 100 miles per hour every snap. He's really good at blitzing. He's not going to be your best run stopper because of his size. But I think maybe in a Joe Woods style offense at a line, and I know we already took, Zaven Collins. Do we move him, towards the edge and we want another speedy guy in the middle? Wouldn't be a terrible option as well, just to throw in a different name out there.
So what do we think? What do we think is the highest priority right now? Do we need, if we're moving Collins to edge, or do we need that middle linebacker still? Or are we happy with, Malcolm Smith, Anthony Walker, Phillips?
There's
or do we need to throw another safety back there? Or do we need to go with this D lineman?
Now, there's a couple linebackers later in the draft that I think are good for the Browns or would be good for the Browns. And with what they've done, kind of like Barry said, to shore up that position with Anthony Walker, bringing back Malcolm Smith, I think we're going to be okay. And there's probably also some more free agents we can look into as well. That's not the Browns' primary position. It's that D line and it's that secondary. That's where they really want the strength to be. So I think with these next two picks, we need to be looking probably D-line, edge rusher, because we don't know about Zaven Collins, if he's going to be that edge rusher. Maybe he'll just be linebacker. But
so I'm kind of on this, the big guy from LSU. You know, with us having, you know, Malcolm Smith isn't a huge guy. Phillips isn't a huge guy. So the fact that this guy is the size of a mountain, you know, and can eat up blocks so our linebackers can run free, I kind of like that. And I think if this dude's getting paid millions of dollars, the Browns aren't going to let him get his weight out of control. At least, I don't think so.
Not this Browns team.
You know what I mean? Like, regime. They're going to be on him from jump street to be in shape. Yep. And if not, they're going to fine him. And money talks. You know what I mean? So it might be hard to stay in shape when, you know, you're the king of the campus or whatever on your national championship winning football team, but when you show up 10 pounds overweight so you get fined at $500,000, that hurts.
Yeah, and remember that we did sign Malik Jackson, and I know that they said that what did they call him? They want him to play big edge, meaning that he's going to play interior D-line, but they can also put him out to the edge if they need to. So I'm starting to wonder if that other side of Myles Garrett isn't going to be more of a rotational spot this year, like just bringing in fresh guys, different looks each time. So you're thinking Tyler Shelvin.
That's kind of my vote. I don't know what you guys are thinking.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, with the first one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Browns are going to take Tyler Shelvin, interior D-line out of LSU. And the Vikings took Rashad Weaver, another edge rusher. Okay. So I'm going to continue to advocate here for the safety out of Florida State. But
let's hear it. Why? No.
Because I want another good tackling player in that rotational safety unit to go with John Johnson, Delpit, Ronnie Harrison. I think, you know, Redwine. I just think having one more guy who could develop into that, you know, a reliable starter, you know, a good playmaking tackler on our defense would be really what Joe Woods is looking to have.
So is there one available on the board that you want?
Are you talking about Joshua?
No, I'm talking about Hamsa.
Okay.
Hamsa Nazarilladine.
Yeah, I did that on purpose to you there.
Oh, okay. Thanks a lot. No, I appreciate it. There's so many names in here. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to butcher every one, but that's okay.
So the biggest knock on this guy says he's just not particularly explosive, but I feel like we got Troy Hill, who's a defensive playmaker as far as touchdowns and stuff like that. Delpit is supposed to be explosive when he comes back. John Johnson's, so we don't necessarily need this guy to be that explosive score points defensive guy.
Yeah, it says he wraps up in space. He only missed 22 tackles on 233 attempts. Plays with great balance, steady, under control play style, and he has the length at 6'4" to keep blockers at bay.
Josh, I would go out on a limb and say you did more research than all of us combined. So yes. This is your guy. Right. I say we let Josh make his pick.
This would be my guy at this spot. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to say his name again. We're just going to draft him.
All right, so we got the safety Josh wanted. Don't pick again here until 110. So.
And Josh, you might as well just close your computer and stuff because we're not letting you make any more picks.
Right, yeah, you're done for the day.
I'll just run the cameras.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to make some notes here. So we have Tyler Shelvin.
Yeah, it takes us into round 4, pick 110. And I mean, now you're
best available.
Yeah, I mean, you're best available. You're looking at skill positions here. Yeah. You know, first 4 on the board.
What about this Saint Brown guy? I've heard a lot about this guy.
I know you want me to shut my computer, but I do like the fact that he's on the board here, and I think the Browns need to address wide receiver at some point. And it
sounds crazy, but we're not going to have the guys we have forever.
I don't think exactly, it sounds crazy.
Because Landry and Beckham, I don't know how many more years these two guys can stay on the Browns with their contract situations. And then Higgins was only a 1-year deal, so we're looking at another year of running it back, and then we need to have something there besides just Donovan Peoples-Jones on a long-term contract.
Yeah. I don't think it's crazy. And with what the Browns have done the last couple of years, you're kind of in a position to just take a guy that you like.
Yeah.
In you know, Pro Football Focus has this guy projected as a third rounder. We're in the fourth right now. The St. Brown from USC. We're in the fourth. So I think to get this guy now, he's projected a third. If we give him the fourth, that's good value. It says he doesn't do too much to get you excited, but he's a solid all-around profile to be a quality number two receiver. I don't think we're going to lose Odell and Jarvis. We're going to lose maybe one of them. So we're not looking to replace a number one here. We're looking for a depth guy and a solid number two. So I don't know. I like this St. Brown. I think he's a good ball player.
The other guy I'm looking at here, and oddly enough, it's offensive side of the balls. I think we need to start looking at our O-line depth at some point in this draft. And I see Deonte Brown, the guard from Alabama, who I know he graded out pretty well. I'm trying to see here. So NFL draft profile had him projected at a 6.25 grade. They said it was a good backup who can become a starter, which at this point in the draft and with our offensive line that we have intact now, those are the kind of guys we need.
Yeah, where you got the luxury where the offense is so good that we don't really have needs, immediate needs.
Yes.
And I feel like we've already addressed the immediate defensive needs early in this draft. So now we're kind of like spoiled. We're kind of picking for, you know, what do we think can help us depth-wise and down the road. We're not looking for somebody who can make an immediate impact, you know, come training camp.
Right. And the nice thing here is we're at pick 110, and then we turn around and pick again at 132, so not too far away. And I don't know, maybe Brown drops. Maybe we could scoop up a guard there. Are we thinking Amon-Ra St. Brown, the wide receiver out of USC here?
I liked it. The only knock that I saw on him is he struggled. So he used to play inside, got moved outside, and then really had some problems getting separation downfield. So it depends on where we want to use him. You know, are we going to use him more inside because that's where he, you know, flourished in college before they had to make the switch just for their own personnel at USC and had to move him outside? But he's definitely a very talented wide receiver coming out. Another guy that was kind of on there, that Sage Surratt's actually related to Chaz, that was at
the linebacker.
The linebacker. They kind of compared him to – he's definitely a physical wide receiver, but he's not very quick. But he's going to be able to maybe get your separation right off the line of scrimmage, but he's not going to be able to outrun anybody, you know, on his routes. They said his comparison's a late career Dez Bryant. Is kind of where
a late career.
I don't know what his late career,
because it wasn't so good.
I don't know if that's late career Baltimore or Dallas. Late career Dallas, because Dallas wasn't.
I would take that.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah,
I mean they were the fumble, scenario in Green Bay away from moving on to the playoffs that year. But I'm good with the St. Brown. I think that if you're taking him, you're thinking maybe he's going to fill Jarvis's role.
I agree. And what I liked about him is that he's great in yards after the catch at making that first guy miss, especially when you put him in the slot. You know, I feel like that just helps Baker. He can throw, you know, this guy can turn a 3-yard slant into, you know, a 30-yard completion. So I'm on the Amon-Ra St. Brown train if you guys are.
I'm down.
Especially because this guard you were talking about has a 4th-round grade.
Gotcha.
We have another pick in this 4th round. So I think, you know, there's a better chance Deonte Brown's still going to be there when we
get there. I think so. So we're going to take the younger brother of Equanimeous St. Brown. Do you guys know that?
No.
Yes. I did not.
Yes, yeah. Green Bay Packers wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I did not know that.
Amon-Ra St. Brown, wide receiver. Welcome to the Browns. All right, so now moving into this next pick, what are we looking at as far as position? Is there anything of need that you guys want to focus on?
So this is where, you know, if Deonte Brown's available, I'm 100% okay with taking him in this position.
Just went to the Titans at 126.
Stupid Titans. Also,
there goes the other wide receiver, Surratt, at 130.
We also talked, you know, Barry talked about potentially needing like a swing tackle. So if we have any tackles available.
Well, there you just mentioned it. We got Robert Hainsey for Notre Dame, best available on the board. That's why everybody, and then another thing that I just want to point out, Ohio State guy going to pick right before us to Baltimore Ravens, of course.
That's taking Ohio how State it always happens.
Taking Browning at the linebacker position there.
So what's kind of crazy about this Robert Hainsey guy is still available. He graded it out last year at an 89.6.
Okay.
So his run block grade was an 88. His pass block grade was an 80. His zone grade was a 91. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the Browns run that zone scheme, correct? I'm not an idiot.
Yeah, no, you're not an idiot.
Well, so, not right now,
I'm
anyway.
I'm not agreeing.
You know? I have called you an idiot on the show before, but.
So, I mean, it kind of seems like a cop out just because he's the top guy available, but I mean, I'm almost kind of surprised that he's still available.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. There's
maybe a little undersized at 6'5", 290.
Say, there's another guy a little further down the way here, and it's Chris Rumpf II, edge rusher out of Duke. He grades out pretty well. Said his pass rushing toolbox can stand up with NFL veterans. He's very polished, reactive rusher, tremendous balance, very effective as a stand-up linebacker if he needs to be, motor that won't quit.
So when I was doing mock drafts, Chris Rumpf in some of the mock drafts was slipping to the sixth round.
Was he?
I have him just on my stuff as possibly around the sixth round, just when the three or four
And that's fine. I'm fine waiting on him, but I just wanted to point him out here.
If he slips, but if he goes
Yeah, and I was gonna say, if you can scroll back up there, Josh, looking at the I wanted to see some of these other names that were listed there at the top.
So you've got Jay Tufili, the interior D lineman from USC, Bobby Brown III, same position, Texas A&M. And then I don't think we would be looking at Divine Diablo, the safety out of Virginia Tech, since we've already taken our safety.
Have we taken an interior defensive?
We did.
We took Shelvin guy, right?
Tyler Shelvin.
Okay.
So we did take him.
All right.
Was there somebody else you were looking at there, though, Justin?
No, I just feel like that was going into the season. I feel like that's something that needs addressed.
Right.
So what are you guys thinking? Are we thinking this Robert Hainsey, the tackle out of Notre Dame?
That's who my vote would be. I think it's the best value for this late to beginning, a guy who's graded that high.
Well, we got to have some depth there for sure. We saw that
Nick Harris.
Even though we've got a really good offensive line, they're not going to stay healthy consistently the entire season, and all five.
A lot of our backup linemen, too, are more interior. Nick Harris is your guard center. Yep. I guess Hans moved out to that tackle, but that first time he was at guard.
I think Hans was just doing anything they ask him to do.
Yeah,
right.
So he was just happy to be there.
Yeah.
You know, and normally Chris Hubbard would be that swing tackle guy, but his injury, so who knows what that's going to be like. So I'm okay with taking this guy.
Yeah,
if it was me, I'd probably take Kellen Mond out of Texas A&M. just kidding, Browns fans.
All right, so Robert Hainsey, the tackle out of Notre Dame.
They produce some okay offensive lineman in the last couple years.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, and it's nice, like you said, Blake, we're not drafting out of necessity for that offensive side of the ball. We're drafting for depth and, you know, potential future value.
Yeah, because some of these linemen are, you know, they're not going to be here. Batonio is getting older.
Yep.
Treader, you know, is getting older.
Treader, definitely. And there is a center later on here that I've had my eye on doing these mock drafts, that we'll see if he's still around maybe with our second to last pick or
You don't have any faith in Nick Harris taking that spot?
I do like Nick Harris. I do, but I'm just saying, like you said, that interior line, the guards, the centers.
I know Browns fans don't want to hear it either. But
oh, look who's at the top of the board.
There you go.
There it is.
Wyatt Chris Teller, Rumpf II. All right, what were you saying?
Free agent next year.
So what can you tell us about this guy, this Chris Rumpf?
Everything I just told you in the last pick.
There you go. And we're getting great depth because we're getting him,
All right, so available. Right here it says you will not find a more skilled pass rusher in the draft class.
Do it. Wow.
I mean,
we're going to
sold me.
Round five. Now,
they said that as far as explosion, not the top of the list or anything like that, but this said his pass rushing toolbox can stand up against these veteran tackles in the NFL.
The only thing that scares me a little bit is in 2018, he's graded out at 63. And then 2019, he graded at 93.7.
Right. But now, if you look at the trends across these, a lot of these grades are going to be higher for most of these players in 2019 because of the weird season last year.
Okay.
I've noticed that a lot of the grades, it's like, wow, they look great in 19. Then 20, it's like, did they suck?
Well, they didn't get to,
Right.
There's a lot of, hands-on coaching stuff that didn't get to happen.
Yeah. And maybe they only played three games. Who knows? I don't know how some of these teams.
Or you sat and wait, like Pac.
Or you waited three games, yeah, and then you didn't
play. The Pac-12 or whatever they call it these, you know.
Do we want to pull the trigger on him?
I'm okay with pulling the trigger.
All right, we're going to take. Were you going to say something, Zach?
Nope. Okay. I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Chris Rump the second. All right. We've got two picks left.
Yep, so 211. So we're off for around almost 40 picks here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So how are you guys feeling so far about our draft?
I'm very interested to see, you know, because at the end of this, Pro Football Focus will give us a draft grade.
I'm interested to see how we did.
Because no matter what I did, I could not get higher than a B+ when I did all these.
Yeah.
No, so I'm curious. Exactly.
And I'm really interested to see what the people are thinking. Like, how are we doing? You know?
Yeah.
Especially, you know.
Oh, I'm sure they'll let us know.
They're going to eat us alive.
they'll let us know.
There's some people out there who probably spend hours and hours and hours doing this. I watch Ohio State in college, and that, like, I don't watch a ton of other college football.
Yeah, me and Blake were talking about that. And then last night I stayed up till, you know, 1:30 in the morning watching Stipe, the Cleveland's original champ. Can't wait to see you back, champ.
All right, so here we are at pick 211.
Is there anything we haven't addressed that you think needs addressed? We've picked a linebacker / edge. We just picked another edge. We got safety. We've got corner. We've got D tackle.
So I will say here, Michael Manet, I think is probably how you say his name, Manet, center out of Penn State, is kind of the guy I've been targeting in these late rounds. I'm going to pull up his profile here. I mean, obviously, you know, we're getting late in the draft, so, I mean, he's not like this high-quality starting caliber guy or anything, but I think he's somebody that can develop into a starter eventually, given the right coaching and time to develop.
Well, we got a good one there. We have a great O-line coach, so.
We do. Right?
What I like about this, too, is if you can develop this guy into a starter eventually, you know, that frees Nick Harris up for one of those guard positions if, you know, say – Joel Bitonio, you know, the Browns don't bring him back on another contract because he's getting older. I don't see that happening because he's kind of like Browns royalty right now. But, you know, business is business sometimes. Yeah. You don't know how it's going to go. So
one other guy that I know it's kind of crazy to talk about here with the people we have at this position, but what about Elijah Mitchell, the running back out of Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns? just kind of thinking depth and then looking long term, you know, if we sign Nick Chubb to a big deal next year, I don't think we're keeping Kareem Hunt around. You know, there's no way these two guys are going to, you know, dominate this backfield for years moving forward. So I think getting a good explosive runner, they say he's ideal, built for all around, three down work. He's 5'11", 218. He's got speed and burst, talented footwork, 3 years of production. 2018, 13 touchdowns, 2019, 16 touchdowns, and last year on an abbreviated season, he had 8 touchdowns. So
I'm okay with taking a flyer on a running back. And like you said, we're not going to have Chubb and Hunt forever.
No. And there will be running backs available that we can talk about with our last pick here, too, if we wanted to take the center here. Was there anybody else that you guys had in this range that you wanted to talk about?
Just in like the running back guy that I remember just kind of seeing a little bit from being back in college just because his name stood out was Puka Williams Jr. from Kansas. You know, he's touted as being, you know, one of the quickest running backs. He's pretty much a scat back is what he is. You know, he's been quoted that you can't touch him in a phone booth type of shiftiness that he's just super quick, getting fast out of his cuts. He's got unique suddenness that the broken tackle numbers that he's registered in college don't do him justice because some guys miss so badly that it wasn't considered a missed tackle. but for him, he's limited in size. You know, he's a 170-pound running back. Mm. He's your Darren Sproles-ish type running back that's just third down passing situations, you could probably motion him out into the slot. Nobody's going to be able to cover this type of a guy, but he's limited in what he can do.
I tell you what, though, Darren Sproles had a really good career.
Right.
He did.
Right.
You know what I mean? If we could get so.
I mean, and this guy, I mean, he ranked his overall grade in 2018. He kind of regressed a little bit. He had a injury in 2020, but he ranked as a grade as a 90.1 in 2018, 86.3 in 2019, then a 72.9 in 2020.
And I'll say this about, you know, if we lose Kareem Hunt or Nick Chubb, whichever one we don't lose, then the other guy's going to step up and be the bell cow back. So we don't necessarily maybe need somebody in that mold. Maybe this scat back type guy is...
Yes,
who we pair with them.
Looking at the way they're running this offense, though, last year it was...
You don't think D'Ernest Johnson can be that?
Well, I don't know, but what I'm saying is I don't think that either Chubb or Hunt, whoever it is going to be a bell cow. I think that this coaching staff wants to utilize two running backs. You know, you saw that. We have Nick Chubb, one of the best running backs in the league, and a lot of times in the second half, he was nowhere on the field because they just kept bringing in Kareem Hunt, so it was a lot
of... Do we do that just because we have that option, or is that what they want to do?
Man, when Chubb was down, it seemed like they were still trying to do that with D'Ernest whatnot Johnson, but I just don't think he had the skill set to do it.
So, all right, so fight for it. Elijah Mitchell or Puka Williams?
Yeah, I was just throwing, you know, a running back option out there. If I had to pick between the two, I'd probably take Elijah Mitchell between the two.
Are you okay with Elijah Mitchell?
I'm fine with that, yeah.
another guy later kind of in there. I think we picked him now, but say we like swapped and we're waiting until like 257 to make a running back pick, somebody like a Brian Robinson Jr. out of Alabama. Well,
do you want to do that? Do you want to take the center here that we talked about and then just wait and see what running backs are available?
If we're kind of, you know, happy, if we think they're all three comparable, I'm good with that.
I think that one of the biggest picks here, because you're at 211, then you're at 257, your last two picks, you're necessarily just taking your guy here. Mm-hmm. You're taking your guy at this pick rather than taking like a best available because you just don't know who's going to be available at the end.
And to be completely honest, probably round 5, round 6, round 7. These guys, they might not make the team.
Right. Yes, this is very true.
The Browns, yes, we're in that rare position. How many times in the past we're counting on 6-round picks? But like, yeah, man, that guy we got in the 6th round.
We're counting on drafted free agent.
He's going to be good. Now, you know, outside of the 3rd round, these guys are going to be clawing and fighting for a roster position because of how deep we are and how talented we are at the top end of our roster. So, I mean, it's kind of like, it's just, you know, who do you think has the best chance to make our team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd be okay waiting here to take a running back.
I think you go center. I like the center pick center there too.
All right, so we'll take Michael. I'm thinking it's Manet.
Yeah.
Let's just see what we're left with here at the end. The thing with the scat back Puka Williams type of player.
Puka and Elijah both went.
The thing with like a player like Puka is I think he would be more prominent year one because he fills a role that the other two running backs don't fill, whereas Elijah Mitchell or a back like that would probably have to sit and wait a year. So we're getting close here.
How cool is this, by the way? You guys can't see this on screen, but we got a TV set up. This is very legit.
Yes. Yeah.
Man. We're not just like looking off into the nothing.
Right.
If this is what it feels like to be in the war room, I feel like
there's probably a little bit more pressure.
A little bit more stress.
More stress.
I don't have to pay these guys after I pick them.
All right. Well, there's your guy, man. There's your guy.
Yeah.
Brian Robinson Jr. out of Alabama.
I say tough Borland. Just because I'm an Ohio State homer.
Of course you would say that. He's, a 6'1", 228 running back coming out, 83.8 grade. Last season, ran for 482 yards, averaged over 5 yards a carry with 6 touchdowns. Well, obviously, they have Najee Harris there, so he wasn't going to be the bell cow back there in at Alabama. But I remember my wife's an Alabama fan, so I've watched more Alabama games than I'd like to admit. But he's a guy that when he was in the game, he did stand out. You could tell, you know, that he had a nice pop. Had a good first step coming out of his breaks. So he's a guy that, you know, is a big back that now he's not the scat back, like we just said, might help us eventually, but he might fill that role of when we have to decide who we're keeping around in Cleveland. type of a thing. If the Browns offensively are thinking kind of what Josh said, you know, hey, we don't want one guy who's getting 35 carries in a game. We'd like it, you know, 18 and 12 type of a thing.
Yep.
Hey, I'm sold. You convinced me.
All right, Brian Robinson.
At this point in the draft.
Yeah, right. All right, so we're going to take Brian Robinson Jr., Najee Harris's backup.
All right, so now I'm really excited to see, you know, how does Pro Football Focus think we did?
Not looking great.
Not great.
I don't know the last. Okay
we did.
We took a solid B.
We got a B.
We got a B. We hit, I mean, they're at the end of the draft. You know, we hit on
a lot. We got good value late.
Yeah.
They just think maybe they think we reached early.
I mean, maybe on with the wide receiver from USC, I think that there's some doubt of what he did late in his career when we look at that pick. So maybe that's why he's ranked there. Maybe we stretch there, but it was kind of like that need where we wanted to get some value at that, you know, at that position.
To take him with our fifth pick in the draft that we have.
Right.
You know, I think that's pretty good value. And I will say from doing these mock drafts this past, you know, week or two, I've not gotten much higher than a C+ on any wide receiver that I've taken anywhere in the draft, because it's not a huge position of need for the Browns.
Right.
But as Browns fans, we know that it'd be nice to have a little bit more depth there.
Right. That, and then you run into the effect of your tiers of wide receivers that are coming out into a draft. I mean, you have your like first round really good talent. Then it kind of tapers off from there. You're not going to get, you know, great talent in, you know, with a fifth pick or into your fourth, fifth round draft. I'm kind of surprised the Tyler Shelvin getting the B+ grade on him. I thought maybe that would have been a little bit of a knock just because of his weight and kind of the factors with him. But overall, I think
looks
we did
like
a pretty good job.
Our tackle pick was a good pick.
Yeah.
Chris Rumpf, the edge rusher, I think waiting on him was good
because
we got him right when we wanted him. I'm happy with the draft.
I really am. Maybe we could have done better at corner.
Yeah,
But there wasn't, unless we would have went first round corner, I mean, there wasn't.
And the only one there was Asante Samuel Jr.
Yeah, and
draft,
I'm not sold on him. I'm not sold on him. Now, obviously, you know, this is a mock draft. We're at the liability of what the computer is telling us everybody else is taking. There's a lot of good cornerbacks out there that we could get in the first round, you know, Zaven Collins is taken or something, you know, or
we trade up.
Nobody there. We
got picks.
I think things are going to shake out too over the next month because there's pro days that need to happen yet. There's guys that opted out in 2020 that they don't have any tape on since 2019. So they're just kind of waiting to see. And I think some of these, you know, some of this is going to change. So when we do our mock draft 2.0 based on our listener feedback and what we get some feedback from a draft expert next week and kind of some of the more information is going to come out, it'll be interesting to see what changes in the next one we do.
Yeah, biggest thing going into the draft that I want personally that the Browns don't, I don't want to take guys that, you know, they've had injuries in college. There's one, the Miami edge rusher,
Jalen Phillips.
He had the concussion. Yep. He had the concussion issues. You know, I really want to as much, even if they're super talented, if there's choice A and B and this guy's got some injuries, but he's a little bit better, but B's a little bit behind, I'd rather have B because I'm tired of drafting a guy that's got some type of problem and then we don't get to use him.
Ever.
That's my biggest thing. You know,
as long as the gap's not huge. You know, I'm not taking a guy, a six-round project in the second because he's healthy.
Right.
But, you know, if we're splitting hairs.
Yeah.
He's healthy because he never got to play.
Right. Yes, this is very true. Yeah. Very true.
So
that other guy was taking all his time.
Yeah. I agree with that, though. I hate drafting people. Then, I mean, nothing against Delpit, but it just sucks, you know, and greedy. So,
yeah, we're hoping, you know, fingers crossed that those guys are both back and both the player we think that they can be, because if they are, our defense this year, I mean, big upgrade. Sometimes you see it takes a year or two to rebuild a defense and to get some guys there, and the Browns are looking like they might already have it in-house.
I'm telling you right now, this season, Browns are Super Bowl contenders.
Oh, I agree 100%.
And it all depends on Baker Mayfield.
Right.
It usually does.
So yeah.
Depend on the QB.
But I believe it's going to take – it's harder. It's going to – nobody wants to see Cleveland this year. especially based on our draft.
That's right.
Right. So, and you know, interesting, I just want to throw this out there to our fans that are listening, comment and on the episode. If you think somewhere later in the draft, if there is a quarterback out there that you wouldn't mind, you know, stashing on our roster, are you okay with just keeping Case Keenum? Case Keenum's getting old. Not that I'm saying to replace Baker Mayfield, but right. Maybe another guy that you want just in case something he had to get injured. Just interested.
For me, I don't want my backup quarterback to be an unproven rookie. I'd rather have a seasoned vet be my backup quarterback.
I'm more in that camp as well. And like you said, we're not looking to develop anybody into anything more than a backup. So,
and why bring in somebody where as soon as Baker throws one interception, some dumbass like me comes onto their podcast and starts screaming about getting the backup in there, you know? So
I guess that's true.
So, but yeah, let us know what you think. If you're, you know, if you think we should draft somebody late, you know, let us know. But well, that wraps up our mock draft for today. As you can see, we got a solid B, way better than any of the grades I got in high school or college. So we're doing pretty well.
That's why we're doing podcasting, guys.
Yeah. Right. We want to thank you for checking out another episode of The Dogs. You know, big thank you to Barry Shuck for being with us again today. We love having him on. Make sure you tune in next week when we have draft analyst Brian Bosarge from Deep Fried Draft on. He's going to grade our mock draft as well as give us some insight on what he thinks the Browns are looking to do in the draft. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say about our mock draft, so don't forget to get your thoughts and your intros into us by leaving us a voicemail at thedogspodcast.com. Lastly, don't forget to head to manscaped.com. You have a few more days to use promo code DAWGS, DAWGS, to get free shipping and 20% off when you pick up the Lawnmower 3.0 or the Perfect Package 3.0. Also, head to thenorth.com, use promo code DAWGS, DAWGS, for 25% off your entire order at checkout and get yourself some pretty awesome Browns gear.
And I was going to say, shout out, I don't want to forget, Honolulu, Hawaii, Browns backers, thank you for the shirts. Yes. These things rock. You guys rock. We appreciate all the support. Love you guys out there.
Yep. Thank you all for checking out today's episode, and we'll see you guys next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.